Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome to First Baptist Church. It's cold outside, isn't it? Now, isn't there a scripture about that? Doesn't the Bible say many are cold, but few are frozen? Or something like that. Well, we are glad you're here. I'm Pastor Jay Scribner, your interim pastor, and glad to have you here. If you're a visitor to First Baptist, then do us a favor. Just reach out right in front of you. There should be a connection card in the pew back right in front of you. And get that and begin the process of filling it out so that you can drop it in the offering plate later in the service, or you can just take it to our connection table out in the foyer. We'd like to have a record of your visit, and just so delighted to have you here today. Let me call your attention, please, to several announcements in your bulletin. Wow, lots of things going on, Christmas time and parties going on, a single adult party, read about that. Next Sunday night, an all-church Christmas caroling. Don't miss out on that. But please note the time change. That's at 5 o'clock, starts at 5 o'clock, and we'll go out from the church. Also, Salvation Army bell ringing. That's a good thing to be involved in our community. And it's my understanding that we still need some help with that, especially mid to late Saturday afternoon. And so if you could help with that, would you please see Jean Ann Reed today so that we can finish filling in those time slots? Many are already involved with that, so thank you so much for your willingness to do that. And now tonight, 6 o'clock, really, really, really good news. I tell you what, our children's choir, and they have worked hard for this, so you won't want to miss our time together tonight, starting at 6. Gonna be a great evening with their skits, their drama presentation, their singing. You will certainly enjoy that. Now, this final thing, take your bulletin insert that's entitled On Location Praying and look at that. We've got the remainder of this month to plan for this, but I'm asking you to be involved on New Year's Day. All right, all together go, oh. Listen, read that carefully. What a great way to start the new year out. And we're going to be going just one hour of your time. You can almost do that at halftime. And so just 1 hour of your time to go into the community, and on the back of it, we've divided the community into 7 sectors, and you're going to go as a prayer team, and a prayer team is however many you can get in your vehicle. And if you got a little sports car, that's great. It'd just be 2 of you. Or if you, if it happens to be a nice day, you might take your motorcycle out, and it'll just be you. So however many you can get in your vehicle, read about it, and it'll be a great way to start the new year, and it will impact our community. So read those details, and then there's a place for you to tear off and to turn it in so that we can know about the teams that we'll have out that day. All right, other announcements are there in your bulletin if you'll give special attention to those. Let's stand together, put a smile on, and share that smile and a handshake with several people around you. Will you please?
You can be seated this morning. I want to introduce to you the First Baptist Church Wind Ensemble. Thank you. Let's stand together this morning and sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Aren't you glad that we can celebrate Christmas together? Let's sing Hark the Herald.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Oh,
Why don't we stand one more time and sing, O Come All Ye Faithful.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. O come, let us adore him.
Receive our offering.
Will you pray with me, please? Father, we come to you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. Father, we thank you for many blessings. Father, be with us as we worship you in our tithes and offerings. Pray that you'll bless the gift and the giver. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Very first overseas mission trip my wife and I took, we had an opportunity to go to Taiwan. We spent a week with a missionary by the name of Herb Barker, and we ended up on the Pescador Islands, Peng Hu, and it was not until a month ago that I connected some dots to realize that Herb and Imogene were here from here in Mountain Grove. So I contacted their son, Jim, and asked him to share this personal word of greeting to First Baptist Church and to encourage us in our Lottie Moon offering. Our goal this year is $4,000. It's very reachable if we will all participate with that. So let me encourage you to do so, and let me applaud you for the fact that for a long time, you, in one way or another and in different ways, such as your support of Herb and Mrs. Barker, have been involved in international missions. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good. It's good to go across the street with the gospel, and it's good to go across the ocean with the gospel. It's good to go around the corner with the gospel, and it's good to go around the world with the gospel. Thank you, Father, for missionaries that have gone out from this town and this church with the good news of Jesus Christ. Help us to give and help us to go for the cause of building up the kingdom of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Let's continue worshiping the Lord by singing 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Wake up, the star.
was singing that song of being there at the manger and seeing baby Jesus and thinking, this is a baby, but hail to the King. He was the baby in the manger, but he came the King of our hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can lift you up this morning. We ask that you be glorified in this place. Lord, it's not about us. It's not about what we do, but it's all about what you did for us. We thank you so much for Jesus coming, but most of all, we thank you for what he did for us on the cross. Lord, thank you that we can praise you today. We ask that you be lifted up in this place. We want to say that we love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Amen. Thank you so much. Kent, praise team, praise man. Thank you all. Nancy and choir and Michaela, thank you. What a wonderful job. And what about that wind ensemble? Great, huh? Would you like to hear them on somewhat of a regular basis?
Amen.
Yeah? All right, Kent, there's the assignment, man. A little girl reported to her kindergarten class the birth of her new baby brother, and the teacher asked her if she liked her new little brother, and she said, well, he's all right, but there are a lot of other things we needed more. Well, that cannot be said about the baby whose birth we celebrate at this season of the year. This baby was the very Son of God. He became the Savior of the world, my Savior and your Savior, we hope. His name was Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. And there is absolutely nothing that you and I and the world need any more than Jesus, our Savior. Well, the title of our message is Migdal Eder, the place of his provision. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, it will be Migdal Eder, the place of his promise. And then two Sundays from now, Migdal Eder, the place of his presence. Now, I must be honest with you and tell you that this one verse of Scripture has impacted my life more than any other verse in all of the Bible. When God led me to study and to understand this verse many years ago, what took place in my study on that day was remarkable for me. When I began to look at this verse and to understand it and to understand the impact for me personally and the impact for the world, I broke into tears and a sobbing that I could not contain. I laid on the ground, on the floor for probably 20 minutes with uncontrolled sobbing to understand this one verse and its significance for me. I could hardly wait to go home and tell Kay. And I walked in the door, and I broke into tears that I could not contain. I had to finally at least get enough words out to tell her, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm just so excited to tell you what I've learned. And that was early in the week, and I thought, well, surely by Sunday I'd be fine. And so when I stood up to preach this message to First Baptist Church of Branson, I stood in the pulpit and I broke down sobbing. And I had to say to several hundred people, I'm okay. I'm okay. Just hang on and let me get there. And I could hardly make it through the sermon because I was so phenomenally touched by the impact of this one verse. Well, I hope to share it with you today and over the next 2 weeks. And I hope it impacts your life as well as you come to understand the significance of the revelation of God about where Jesus Christ was born. This will just be the first of three messages about this, the Lord willing, over the next 3 weeks. So let's read this verse. It's an obscure verse of prophecy, and it's found in the book of Micah. Go to the book of Jonah and turn right, and you'll find this book, little book of Micah. And we're in the fourth chapter, and the verse is verse 8, Micah 4:8. Get your listening sheets ready with a pen or pencil and take notes over the next 3 weeks and do your own study and your own review and your own research regarding this. Micah chapter 4. Verse 8 says, And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, let me give you these three things this morning. First of all, I want us to see the past history. The past history. Now, as you would suspect, the Bible is very explicit as to where the first Christmas took place. Now, concerning the prophecy of Christmas, the Old Testament spells out exactly where Jesus was born. And not only are we told in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and you've heard and read that verse many, many times over your Christian history, and you can just go back one, go forward one chapter and look at chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, we're also told the location of where Christ would be born in Bethlehem, and we've already read that, and over the next 3 weeks, I hope to unfold and unpack that for you. But first of all, please understand that God's Word is so sure and so accurate that God clarified the specific city of Bethlehem, because you see there are two Bethlehems identified within Scripture. One is Bethlehem Zebulun, and that Bethlehem is 7 miles west of Nazareth. And then there is Bethlehem Ephratah, which that's the indication that we have from chapter 5, verse 2. And that is about 6 miles from Jerusalem. It's important for you to understand this geography lesson in order to grasp the significance of where and what we're talking about today and the next two Sundays. And this is the Bethlehem that is identified as the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And so about 6 miles from Jerusalem, basically to the southwest of Jerusalem. Now, not only are we told the city where Jesus would be born, but we are also told the location of where Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Now, that's very significant, as you'll see in the next few minutes and the next couple of weeks. Now, if I had a bucket list, which I don't necessarily have, but if I did have, I can assure you that visiting Migdal Eder would probably be on the very top of that bucket list. The Lord willing, we're planning on going back to Israel next October or November for our fourth trip to Israel. And I intend, if possible, to take a small group of only 20 people with me. If you'd like to be a part of that, you can talk to me later and see if you'd like to be included in that. I'm just now beginning the planning of that. Now, here's the verse where we are told that Christ would be born at the Tower of the Flock. You see that in verse 8? The Tower of the Flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. That's where the Christ child would come. You'll understand more in the next couple of weeks why we know that this is the indication of where he would be and who would be born there. Jerusalem is built on a hill. That's why it's referred to as Mount Zion. As a matter of fact, Mount Zion is the traditional site of Pentecost, and it's situated on the southwest side of Jerusalem. Now, back in 2 Chronicles chapter 27, you can jot down these different passages I'm giving you so that you can do some personal study on your own. 2 Chronicles chapter 27, it's recorded that there was a fortified wall built by Jotham, who was the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah. We've got that right there. Jewish history tells us that this was on the southern border of Zion. It was a fortification of great importance. This wall served as a defense to the city of Zion against hostile attacks. And so historically, this is recognized as the entire southern rocky steep of the city of Jerusalem. And so from the southern end of the temple ground to the extreme point of that rocky steep has been referred to as the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. And so the location that's identified in Micah chapter 4 verse 8 as the place where the Christ child would come is just north of Bethlehem and just south of Jerusalem, south of that stronghold walled area on the southern slope of the Temple Mount of Jerusalem. Put all this in your mind. It's important to understand the geographical lesson at this point. Now, this Tower of the Flock was historically referred to as Migdal Eder. Say that with me. Migdal Eder. Genesis 35, write that down. Genesis 35 teaches us that this is also the place where Rachel, the wife of Jacob, gave birth to Benjamin. And consequently, it is also here that she died in childbirth and was buried. Now, I am convinced that it is significant that Migdal Eder is a place of both life and death. In 2 weeks, you'll understand that much more significantly. I'm convinced that Migdal Eder is a place of both life and death in the history of Israel. Now, as Jacob and Rachel were traveling, Rachel was taken in labor as she came near to Bethlehem. And we find in Genesis chapter 35 that the birth was an extremely difficult one. It was very, very difficult in her labor. And they found a place on the other side of Bethlehem, but certainly not far outside the city, where a watchtower had been built for the protection of flocks against robbers. And you have a picture of a watchtower that you can still see at different places in the Mideast and also in Israel. And these were built so that shepherds could go up in these watchtowers in order to do exactly that, to watch over their flock, to protect their flocks against would-be robbers and against animals. And it was there that Jacob had taken his dear wife along with her midwife in order for her to give birth to their son. But unfortunately, the labor was so intense and the labor was so difficult that in childbirth, Rachel died. And as she was dying, she called her son Ben-Oni, which means son of my pain. But Jacob changed that name and called him Benjamin, which means son of good fortune. And so the anglicized perspective of that is Benjamin. That's where Rachel gave birth to Benjamin. And that's where Rachel died. The story is recorded in the first book of Moses, and consequently was passed down through Jewish ancestry. It's important for you to understand that. Passed down through Jewish ancestry as obvious and literal history. And so Migdal Eder is a place in past history of both life and death. And here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only do we look at the past history, but I want us to see the present help. Now, you recall from the New Testament account of the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2 that Mary and Joseph had come up from Nazareth into Judea to Bethlehem. This was because of a regional census that had been commanded by the Roman government. So consequently, everyone had to return to the place of their lineage. Thus, Joseph found it necessary to return to Bethlehem. Now, isn't it interesting that several hundreds of years earlier, the prophet Micah gives testimony prophetically of where Jesus is going to be born. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, but we also are now discovering that he is going to be born at Migdal Eder, there in or just on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And as coincidence, as coincidence would have it, this is exactly the time of this census taxation by the Roman government, and so everyone is demanded and commanded to return to their hometown. And Joseph happens to be from where? Bethlehem. He's from Bethlehem. And Mary, his espoused wife, that's a whole other sermon to understand about the espousal perspective and the betrothal perspective of the Jewish culture. And the fact that you recall that Joseph didn't want Mary to be put to shame, and certainly not to any harm to come to her, because you see, if in fact, in the Jewish culture, if they had had premarital sex, then consequently, both of them, and especially the wife, could have been put to death by stoning. Can you imagine how many dead people we'd have in our culture today, huh? Now, the time of her delivery, because of her pregnancy with Jesus by the Holy Spirit, the supernatural conception that she had within her womb by the Holy Spirit, happens to occur when they come to their hometown of Bethlehem. God's design and God's timing are always perfect. Now, keep in mind that the city is bustling with people at this time because of the commanded taxation and census that is going on by the Roman government. The crowd is such that Joseph is forced to make a decision about where to go in order to find a lodging for himself and for Mary. And especially because of the urgency that he knows Mary is feeling as a result of her imminent delivery of this baby. Now, folks, God directs the steps of his children. It would be natural for Joseph, who was unable to find room in the inn, with Mary ready to give birth, to retrace his steps to the place where he had doubtlessly passed just a short while before upon entering Bethlehem. He would return to the stable at Migdal Edar, having been keen about the historical recognition of the fact. I mean, this was Jewish ancestry. This was Jewish history. This is recorded in the first five books that he would have had memorized. It would have been natural for him to have retraced his steps to go where his ancestor Jacob had taken his wife Rachel in order for her to give birth to Benjamin. Joseph would know that Benjamin, the son of Jacob, had been born there, and this would be the logical place to serve as the birthplace of the Son of God. It had been a place of God's provision in past history, and now with Joseph and Mary's need that was immediate, it would once again be a place of God's provision for their present help. Let me give you the final thing this morning. Past history, the present help, the prophetic hope. The prophetic hope. Now, this particular verse, which we're looking at, is somewhat of an obscure verse of prophecy. I am personally convinced that it reveals for us that Christ was not born in just any stable. And I'm going to show you why in just a moment. It's so much like God that he would choose just the right stable. Just the right place in which the birth of deity himself would be accomplished. Would come out of heaven into earth. Just the right place. So, was Jesus in fact born in the stable behind the inn? No, folks, that comes from stories, that comes from songs, that comes from art. And it's fable, not fact. Was he born where the Church of the Nativity now stands, in Bethlehem Square? How many of you have been to Israel? Let me see. Some of you have, yes. And undoubtedly you've been to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem Square. Well, that's tradition without foundation. The Bible tells us that Jesus was born at a place called Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock, just north of Bethlehem, just south of Jerusalem. It was at this place in ancient Israel that sheep were raised. Not just any watchtower. The sheep that were raised at Migdal were raised year round. And they were raised as sheep that would be used for the ceremonial slaughter at the nearby temple in Jerusalem. That is where my Jesus was born. When that spiritual light came on to me, I couldn't even stand. I laid on the floor, sobbing uncontrollably for probably 20 minutes to understand that that was where God had chosen for the Lamb of God to be born. And now for you and me, for you and me, Migdal Eder has become the place of his provision. Just like it was for Jacob and Rachel. Just like it was for Mary and Joseph. And now for you. And now for me. Because here at Migdal Eder, Jesus was born. The Savior of the world. The Son of God. This is Emmanuel. This is God now with us. This is the sinless Son. This is the sovereign Savior. It was at Migdal Eder that God chose to allow his Son to be born, so that he too might die, that he might be the perfect sacrifice, that he might be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that he might be the one slain on behalf of all of mankind. Now, the only hope that you and I have is not just to believe in where Jesus was born, but to simply believe that Jesus was born, and that he was born to die in your place and on your behalf as the sacrifice for our sins. We'll understand this more perfectly in the next couple of weeks. Without faith in that fact, we have no hope. Now, let me say that again. Without faith in that fact, I'm talking about the fact that Jesus was born and he was born to die. He was born to be that sinless, perfect sacrifice. And without faith in that fact, we have no hope. Christmas will not come to you unless you choose to visit Migdal Eder in your heart and in your spirit, and to believe in faith that this Jesus is in fact the very Son of God, born to die so that you and I might be born again to live. That's why when the shepherd said, "Let's now go even into Bethlehem." And I told you this last week. What did they see? What did they see? No, this was just a baby. It was just a baby. No. No, this child is in fact the very Son of God, born to die so that you and I might be born again to live. Let me pray with you. Father, you do all things well. To think that you would choose to step out of heaven into earth, and to think that you would choose just the right place, just the right location, just the right stable for Christ to be born. Place where sheep were raised. For the ceremonial slaughter at the nearby temple. Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock, thank you, Jesus, for allowing yourself to be born so that I might be born again. I give you praise today in your precious name. Amen. I want to invite Christians to come and kneel in altar prayer today and just to praise him, just to thank him of the significance of the fact that Jesus came, the significance of where he came, and most of all, why he came. I'm going to ask Christians to come and just spend some time giving praise to God and thanksgiving to God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, all you need to see the Lamb of God today, the Lamb of God who died in your place, the Lamb of God that became that perfect sacrifice on your behalf. Come and let us introduce you to Jesus, our Messiah today. Other decisions you may have, we stand ready to counsel with you or to pray with you about those as well. But I want Christians to come and just rejoice. Gather with me today at Migdal Eder. where Jesus was born. Let's stand together. You come.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. To claim, I'll wash my garments white.